Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles, turn to Ephesians in chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3 and verses 20 and 21. Verse 20, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." Amen. Amen. Father, we come to you this morning. God, I need your help. I need unction. I need to be anointed so I can communicate the Word of God. I've got a series of points in front of me and Bible texts that I'd like to preach at this morning, preach through. We need your help. God, I pray you'd put it together because I could get it all chopped up real easy and jump all over and make it hard to understand. I don't want that. I want God, this message to be anointed, that there'd be flow. Lord, that we would understand as a church what we need here at Fundamental Baptist Church. And God, we pray that you would work in our midst. Meet every need at Calvary. Meet every need. Dear Holy Spirit, speak to all of our hearts by way of the Word of God. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I'm preaching a message this morning called Shekinah Glory. Following Shekinah Glory. Let me give you some background. We read in Ephesians that there is glory in the church. Again, the church is God's idea. Again, there's something that happens in preaching, a Bible preaching church, that when God's people meet together corporately, it doesn't happen when you're alone. It's just God using the foolishness of preaching again and again. A God-called, anointed preacher takes the Word of God and drives it home, and God the Holy Spirit leads an entire church. And the Bible tells us there's glory in the church. Go to Joshua and chapter 1. Joshua and chapter 1. Knowing the will of God. Life is an adventure. How many times have I said that in my ministry? You don't know what's around the corner. You don't know what's over the next hill. Never a dull moment in the service of the King. Never a boring day in the service of God. Sometimes I kind of wish for and beg for a boring day. We're to follow Shekinah glory. You say, "Preacher, what is that Shekinah glory?" Well, let me give you a little background. First of all, Joshua chapter 1. "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying..." And God always uses people that are busy. He doesn't use those that are stagnant and still and not attempting anything for God. And the life that we live, the life of living out the gospel is certainly not static. Man, it really is high adventure. And God is going to use those that are already servants. They're already ministers. You know, the coach is going to take the guy off the bench and put him in the game when he's needed. But it's going to be that coach that showed, that player that showed that coach something in practice. And he's ready. And he's willing to go in. That player is Joshua. "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel." God's promises didn't change. He knew what the command was. The previous generation has failed. They died in the wilderness. Because they did not have faith. They died in the wilderness because they refused to enter into the land of Canaan. Instead of showing faith, they showed absolute fear, and with that fear, disobedience to God. "Moses, my servant, is dead. Joshua, next man up. I have prepared you. You have been serving. In fact, you were a minister to Moses. You're the guy. You're the next man up. You're going to lead this people into the land of Canaan." Probably 2 million people, perhaps 2.5 million people. We read in the book of Numbers that they were over 600,000 fighting men over the age of 20. 600,000 fighting men. And then another 1.5 million fighting women and children. And he was to lead them. And that's not including the 22,000 Levites that ministered there in the tabernacle. How were they going to know what to do? Well, first of all, they have the promises of God's word. And they're going to follow God's word. But also they have something that you might think we don't have, but yet we do. And that's what I want to preach on this morning. And it's called Shekinah Glory. If without me looking at all the texts, we'll look at one in a moment. But Shekinah glory is the presence of God. In the Hebrew word, Shekinah means luminous, divine, dazzling presence of deity. The children of Israel were led by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. That pillar of fire was from the tabernacle. It was from the Holy of Holies. And the people of God could look to the tabernacle at any moment and see that pillar of cloud or that pillar of fire. And when that pillar of cloud moved and that pillar of fire moved, they moved right along with them. And it was orderly, and they were given marching orders, and it was a certain way that they were supposed to do things. Now, let me draw a parallel here before I get into what I want to preach this morning. And you've got to remember this parallel. It is foundational. The Old Testament tabernacle is to the Old Testament saint, to the Jew, was what the New Testament church is to the New Testament saint, the born-again believer. In that Old Testament tabernacle was the Holy of Holies, and there was Shekinah glory that led the people of God. And a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. Over here in the New Testament church, the glory, Shekinah glory, the presence of God, is in the church. Not the tabernacle, but in the church. We already read Ephesians in chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. The glory of God is in the church. So before I go any further, do not diminish the importance and the practicality of the New Testament local church that is ordained of God. The New Testament local church that is doing, God does something in New Testament churches that stand for the word of God and preach the word of God. Oh, let me go a step further. Go to Psalm 119 and verse 105. I'll just quote it. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word, the word of God. Go to Hebrews in chapter 4. Let's do turn there. Hebrews in chapter 4 and verse 12. For the word of God is quick, that means alive, it's quickened, and powerful, that means it's effective, and sharper than any two-edged sword, interesting Greek word, that's a surgical tool. Two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder, and it takes for granted here the trichotomy of man, body, soul, and spirit. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It defies logic, it defies psychology. I'm talking about the word of God, and it cuts right to the heart. And it meets the need. And if you were to wrap up my message, go back to Joshua now, in a thought or two, if you remember this thought all the way through this message, we don't have Shekinah glory as far as a pillar of fire by day, and a pillar of cloud by day. We don't have the tabernacle and the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle. But we do have the New Testament local church. And there is glory, Shekinah glory, in the church. Hard to explain, but it is there. Why would God use a mentally limited man to stand up and preach Holy Writ when you could stand up and you could read it yourself, but God the Holy Spirit does something, the church meets together, ecclesia, called out assembly, hear the God-called man preach a God-ordained message from Holy Writ, from the Word of God, and it gives to us light. It's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It provides for us the way we know what to do, and we follow Shekinah glory. I'll probably say this tonight. Let me say it right now. God will never lead you except he leads you by way of the word of God. He isn't going to lead you without scripture as far as some big change. And you know, you're a real quiet crowd this morning. Do we have Baptists here this morning that are born again, love God? All right, that's something you could have said amen to right there. God is going to take the light of God's word, give you light on the path for today, and he'll lead you through the day to day. Amen? That is why that was still weak. Wake up, all right? That is what, maybe you're just intent on what I'm saying. I shouldn't be chewing you out, but somebody agree with me every once in a while, all right? That is why you're to read your Bible every single day. That's why that you need the lamp of God's word to lead you in life, because you're going to make a lot of decisions today, and you need God. You need a shepherd. You need a God that's going to watch over you, and he is going to protect you. Verse 3 says, every place of chapter 1 of Joshua that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. He said, my promise hasn't changed. The change I gave to Moses and the generation before you is still for you today, Joshua. You can take the word of God and you can take it to the bank. You can run with it. I will take care of you. Man, if I can somehow this morning, do you remember the series of messages I preached out of Joshua one time? I think it was a year ago, I believe. And one of the titles of one of the messages was come out of the fog and follow God. Come out of the wilderness. You know, follow along. Some of that was out of the book of Joshua. Man, that's that step. That's following God. Let's go to Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3. I got to pare this message down here real quick because I've got too much. God has not left us alone. You know that. We have a local church. We have God called pastors, evangelists. We have God the Holy Spirit that indwells us. All manifested in Holy Scripture. We've got the teachings of the Word of God. We are a special people at the end of this church age. We got all 66 books that make up the canon of Scripture. We got all the information we need to reach this world for Christ. We have all the understanding. We have God the Holy Spirit to teach us the Word of God so that we don't kind of run with it and do our own thing. That was what God just drove that home this morning in my prayer time with him. God is so patient with me. I want to take and run with things all the time. God, without complete understanding. It's like, okay, I heard you, God, let's go. You know, that kind of thing. And that is my issue. That is my weakness. It says here in chapter 3, Joshua rose early in the morning. I'm skipping a lot. But they rose early in the morning. They removed from Shittim and came to Jordan. This is a raging river. This is a river that is not going to be easy to cross. It's 200 feet deep at one point. It's 10,000 feet wide at flood stage. That is almost 2 miles wide. They will risk their lives to cross that river, but God is going to intervene. It says here, and they lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass, after 3 days, they've already received instruction, that the officers went through the host and commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. In other words, the word of God is to have complete authority, complete preeminence, complete priority in their lives. You say, where's that? The tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant, Shekinah glory is to be everything in their lives. Go back to the book of Numbers. I'll read a couple of short verses. Numbers and chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2. Here are the children of Israel. Here's how they encamped around the tabernacle. I didn't know there was going to be music with this message. It just kind of makes it effective. But look what it says here in verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, every man of the children of Israel shall pitch his own standard or colors, according to his family, his clan, shall pitch his own standard with the ensign of their father's house. That's the flag. So there's going to be banners and flags far about the tabernacle of the congregation. They shall pitch. So here there was rank and order. Every tribe was told where they were to encamp around the Ark of the Covenant, around the tabernacle. In the center, the hub, if you would, of the camp, was to be the tabernacle. The tabernacle was to be the center of all of their lives, all of their culture, all of their entertainment, every decision they ever made. And from that tabernacle was Shekinah glory. And they were there in order. And the interesting thing is that it says far off. In a parallel passage, we'll find out that was about a mile and a half, if I remember right. So picture this. Here's the tabernacle, the center of Jewish life, the Hebrews' life. They know who Jehovah God is. He is there in their presence, Shekinah glory. And there's a great space between the tabernacle. Every tribe, every clan, they could all see the tabernacle from where they lived. They could all see the tabernacle from where they existed. Christ is to receive the preeminence in everything that we do. We get ourselves painted in a corner and we get ourselves in trouble when we make decisions without the Word of God. Man, I am that way. I'm confident that you are that way as well, because I know that you know what that's all about. In back in Joshua in chapter 3, let's look at that again. Joshua and chapter 3. And they commanded the people, verse 3, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove your place and go after it. In other words, complete priority to Shekinah glory, to the tabernacle. You go where that tabernacle goes. You follow and you do it right. Verse 4 says, yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure, or about 3,000 feet. That's over half a mile. So in other words, so I don't get ahead of it, and I don't lag behind, and I have my marching orders, and I'm with my tribe, I'm with my family following that tribe, and I'm going to give the Ark of the Covenant, the tabernacle, when it is moving, all the room. You would be wise to give God all of the authority in your life. You would be wise to not make decisions apart from the Word of God and make decisions by yourself. Our minds are built that way, man. I'll make excuses. I'll find ways to make God's will fit my will all the time. Whether it's buying another pizza or whatever it is, I can twist it. I can make it. My heart is desperately wicked. I can do that. You would be wise to give God all the elbow room he deserves, because he's Lord. He's God. He is Jehovah. And Paul said to the church at Colossae, you are to give Christ the preeminence in everything. And I'm going to preach a little bit about that this evening, and trust that you'll be here and you'll be blessed. Follow the known will of God. It's God's will you get saved. I can show you that in the Bible. It's God's will you get baptized after you get saved. I can show you that in the Bible. It's God's will that you be part of the local church. I can show you that in the Bible. It's God's word that you tithe. I can show you that in the Bible. Those are the revealed will of God. They're the same for everybody. Any color, any height, any weight, it's the same for all of us. We're in the family of God. That's the same command for all of us. And then there's the unknown things. And I'm going to preach about that either tonight or next Sunday, depending on how the Lord leads and how I end up this message here this morning. But know this, grow in light of God's word. Don't get like that mule. Don't get like that horse that needs a bridle. Don't get self-willed and have your life all planned out and then, okay, God, follow me. Follow me. That's not how it works. And can I say it this way? I've said it this way before. God does not work for us. Man, we're his children. We're his servants. He doesn't jump when we say jump. God, I got a loophole. Here's where it is. No. Don't do that. He's to receive complete priority and absolute authority. We move when God leads. Don't get ahead of God. That's my problem. You know that, don't you? I do get ahead of God from time to time. Sometimes it's not a good thing, but I got it. I'm no Peter, but boy, do I fit him. Yeah, Garden of Gethsemane. Here comes the mob. They're coming with, hey, Peter draws the sword. I got this, Lord. You just step back. We're going to take care of this right now. That's Peter. Sometimes that's us. You know why we're to give a half a mile distance to the Ark of the Covenant? Because we're to give him all the room he needs to lead us. You know, a battleship doesn't turn on a dime. We follow God. We follow Shekinah glory, and he's going to bless. Let me give you a Bible illustration of that real quickly. Take your Bibles and turn to Acts in chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Judas is dead. He's hung himself. He went to hell. He's called the son of perdition. He was one of the 12 that Jesus chose. Of course, Jesus, being God, knew exactly who he was choosing when he chose Judas, and it's a beautiful picture. Part of the reason for Judas being there is for you and for me. It's a word of warning and it's a reminder. Well, the apostles, they're meeting together now, and they're in the upper room. Hey, someone's got to take Judas's place. That's a good thought. That's a good thing. So let's cast lots. Let's pick a man to take Judas. It was not their place to pick the next apostle. It says here in verse 20, for it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Wherefore, these men which have accompanied with us all the time that Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. That is not the words of Jesus there. That's the words of the apostles. And they appointed two good men. Godly men, Joseph, called Barsabas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, Thou Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that they may take part in of this ministry and apostleship, which from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles, and Matthias is never mentioned again. And I believe because he was not the 12th apostle. He was chosen by the 12, but he was not the 12th apostle. Saul of Tarsus is going to get saved. And Paul, the word of God tells us, he was the apostle born out of due time. He was the apostle God had chosen to reach most of the Gentile world at that time. God had a plan. The apostles got a little bit ahead of the game. Don't get ahead of God. Don't jump the gun. Don't decide for God what his will is for you. You follow him. You know, waiting on God has got to be the hardest thing in the world. It is for me. I'm reminded of this again and again. I'm actually maturing as I get older, and I'm still having to learn some of the same things where I run my head against the wall, the block wall there. But I am picking up on some things, and here's something that I've learned. God's timeline, God does not run according to my timeline. He is God. I'm to follow him. He's the shepherd. I am the sheep. You start laying things out for God and say, God, here's the timeline. Here's how I'm going to do it. I think you're being foolish. And that really, if you think about it, that makes no sense. Allow God to be the authority in your life. Priority. Give him room to operate. It isn't going to be according to your clock. It's going to be according to God. So don't get ahead of God. And again, that is my big issue. Another thing you don't want to do is lag behind the will of God. James in chapter 4, verse 17. Him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. In other words, don't lag behind God. Personally, I'm not wired as one of those guys that kind of stay back. To me, it's attack, attack, attack. To me, it's let's get this great commission going right now. To me, it's let's get these missionaries on the field right now. To me, it's go after it, get it done. To me, it's attack and charge the gates of hell. And I know a lot of you are wired the very same way. I really believe this. I think if I said we're going to charge the gates of hell with water balloons and squirt guns, some of you would follow me. Maybe in my foolishness, you would follow me. And praise God for your fellowship. And let's pray for the leadership of God in all that we do. And it's attack, attack, attack. But let's not jump the gun either. Let's allow God to be God. Sometimes we get ahead of the game and then we mess things up, and that is not a good thing. My rear view mirror is not real big. In fact, I seldom, hey, do you drive this way on the road? That car's in front of me. I got to get in front of him. Is that what you drive? Yeah, get around, get in front of him. You're driving down the road. Never check my rear view mirror again. I'm going after the next guy. It's like I'm in a constant NASCAR race. Now, I try to obey the laws of the land and so forth, but man, it perturbs me greatly when some slowpoke gets up in front of me. And then there's a line of cars. That happened just this last week. There's a line of cars. I find myself that way. And if that's the way you are, we're wired the same way. But for the other people that are here that are, you know, you're Mr. Calm and cool and collect and you know how to wait on God, but sometimes you wait to the point where you don't get anything done, you're in the wrong there as well. Let's follow Shekinah glory. Okay, let me get real practical, and then I'm going to draw spiritual application right at the end. And I got just enough time to do this. We've got to reach this generation for Christ. And how about this? What if Jesus comes back before Christmas? And are we just going to sit back and wait? No, we're going to move ahead. We're going to honor God. He's going to lead us. We're going to follow Shekinah glory. We're going to give him that half a mile space. We're going to follow him as he leads his people. And we're going to go try cross over the River Jordan. And we're going to enter into the promised land. And we're going to take those fortress cities for the glory of God. I met with the bank president this last week. I went in there for another purpose. As a matter of fact, they're buying a new sound system for the gymnasium. Got the word, all right? He called me yesterday afternoon. Says, Pastor Rader, we talked about it. It's yours. I said, good deal. All right. So I went in there and I sat in his office. I sat across from him. He's a good man. He's actually been to our facility a few times for different ball games. I shook hands with him. He said, Pastor, how much money you need? I said, unless you're giving it away for nothing, we don't need any money. He said, well, I heard you're going to build. I said, we are, but we're not going to borrow any money. Here's a bank president with a bank president's suit on behind a bank president's desk. I said, we're not going to borrow any money. His response in bank vernacular was this. I quote him, boo. Now, of course, they want to lend us money. That's how banks stay in business. That's it. But what a testimony. Another person came up to me this week, said the same thing. It's amazing that you guys are going to, I'm telling you, there's a God in heaven. He'll meet our every need. So between now and the next 8 months, we got to get another $400,000. If we're going to get everything done, I want it done, man. I want to reach the area and reach it for Christ and to the glory of God. And if we were to go back, let's go back to Joshua one more time. Verse 4. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits, half a mile by measure, over half a mile. Come not near unto it. You give God his due. Let him be God. Let him be Lord. Don't you try to be Lord, that ye may know the way by which you must go. For, here it is, ye have not passed this way heretofore. We need the God of tomorrow today. I haven't lived Monday yet. I haven't lived Wednesday or next year. I haven't lived this afternoon yet. We need God. We have not passed this way heretofore. Therefore, we must follow Shekinah glory. Parallel, the Word of God. Old Testament tabernacle, parallel, the New Testament local church. Old Testament saints, the parallel, New Testament born again saints of God. We need Shekinah glory. The luminous, dazzling presence of God. Man, I love Bible preaching. I traveled on to Saginaw last week to hear good Bible preaching. About 8 of us went. It was a good time. I enjoyed it. I love this book. I love it with all of my heart. And I understand this is an anchor. And my heart is desperately wicked and easily deceived. But I've got an anchor. And it's never going to change. And if I'll just follow the light of the Word of God, a lamp under my feet and a light under my path. If I'll just follow the Word of God, the will of God, and not the will of Tim Rader, everything is going to be just fine. I've talked to people over the years. They say, oh, that book, that's just a bunch of rules. That's a bunch of do's and don'ts. And I say, oh, no, there are do's and don'ts. Some truths are hard, and they're hard to follow. There are some do's and don'ts, but this is a treasure map. It leads to eternal gold. This is the bread of life for the starving beggar. Man, this is everything that we need. We need to be a Bible-centric, gospel-centric, New Testament local church, and we need to follow Shekinah glory. And if it doesn't always go on our timetable, that's fine. We'll follow God, and our faith will not falter. Amen. I want that mountain. We sang that this morning. I never thought how that fits into this message. I want that, but that's part of the promised land. That was Caleb saying, I want, that's my mountain. That was my inheritance. That was promised to my tribe from God above. That's the mountain I'm climbing. And as an 80 plus year old man, he led his young men up that mountain. And they conquered it for the glory of God. Shekinah glory. I need it in my life. You need it in your life. We need it in our church life. Follow the presence of God.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.